1,000 years and then forevermore, forevermore. So bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, and worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, and worship Your holy name.
Thank You, Jesus. God, we worship You, God, for what You've done. For the goodness, God, that You've given to us, God. For the blessings, God. But God, just for who You are. For being God in our lives and in our situations. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. You can be seated. We have a few announcements tonight. If this is your first time here, you're a guest, and maybe you're here in person or you're watching online, we do have a connection card. If you could fill that out, we'd appreciate it. We'd like to get to know you just a little bit better. There is, if you're hearing the rumors, there are a number of people that have come down with COVID at our church, and that's okay. That's okay. Some people are home because of that, and some people are home because they're exercising personal caution. That's awesome as well. So if you're here, if you're online, we're glad you're worshiping with us tonight. It's really awesome. Let's keep everybody in our prayers that is being affected by COVID. A couple new things. You're going to see some announcements in the future here about our new database, some software, all that. Brother Phil's going to be giving all that. But I'm going to keep it short with the giving options. There's if you're worshiping in person, you can drop off your offering in the kiosk. There's a little box out there, a little plexiglass box. You can give on the CDC website, or you can mail it in. That's always been the things you can do. There's also a new option. We have a new church management system. You can give directly through an app. So I don't have my phone on me here, but you can download the app and give right through the app. So there's going to be little QR codes around for that. You can click that QR code or take a picture of it, and it'll send you right to the app for that. So search for Calvary Gospel Church, and if you have any questions, call in. Brother Phil would be willing to help you, or any of the pastors. This Sunday, Brother Aaron Wright's going to be here preaching. Brother, he's an evangelist. We're really excited. He's come a number of times. Really awesome. And then next Sunday, the 17th, Brother Don Hanscom is going to be here. He's a missionary evangelist, kind of jack of all trades, does a great job. He's going to be here preaching on the 17th Sunday. But he's also going to be at Purpose Institute on Friday night, the 15th. Now, on Friday nights, anybody's welcome to come. It's kind of a general session, and he's going to be a guest speaker, and I've heard really great things about him. And so if you want to come Friday night and listen to his ministry and him speak, I highly recommend it. All are welcome. And then one more announcement, general announcement here, is that October is Pastor Appreciation Month. It's sad because our pastor is watching online right now, but we all appreciate our pastor and his wife. And so let's make sure we make that known to them throughout the month. There's a box you can give cards into, and if he was here, we could give him the big clap. But either way, when you see him, or if you get a chance to text him or email him or whatever it is you use, make sure to send appreciation to our pastor and his wife for all the awesome things they've done and are for us. So, and because I have the mic, I'm going to sneak in some extra announcements. Martha, if you can wave your hand, there's quizzing. The new quizzing challenge is starting. The quizzing challenge, for those of you with children, it's she sends you some verses, and if your kids can quote them and take a video of themselves quoting them and sending them to her, she will give you a prize. I heard this time it's tickets to Disney World. No, I'm just kidding. Usually it's cookies. It's cookies, very similar, probably valued as high. They're very good. There's going to be an announcement. You'll start seeing that, but it's Proverbs 15, verses 1 through 3, and verses 28 through 32. So about 7 verses there. And if you can quote those by 10:31, so you get a month to learn those verses. I'm going to be learning them because I want cookies as well. The youth group has a game night coming up on the 22nd, and they also have a Bible study and bonfire coming up on the 29th. So youth, you should be seeing that. Parents, hopefully you're seeing that as well. Parents, if you want to chaperone and it's not going to embarrass your children, you can show up for that as well. They're not here tonight probably for all the reasons we mentioned, but Josh and Jenny, they had a hyphen bonfire. I went to that last week, and it was a great time. Brother Tim Knopf spoke. And so it's really cool to see all the CMI and hyphen kids. It's kids, can I say that? I'm 40, is that? No, kids, no. Young adults, is that, that's fair? It was cool to see them and just a great atmosphere and watching what God's doing in their lives. And then lastly, one other thing you're seeing the slides for, there's a ladies hiking day coming up, and that is going to Devil's Lake. I don't know where the slide went, but it's going to Devil's Lake. I think they're meeting here at the church, going up to Devil's Lake and hiking all around. It's going to be a great time, so look for the handouts for that. With that said, if I could have you all stand, we're going to say a prayer. We want to pray for this service, but we want to pray for our church family. We want to pray for all the people that have COVID, all the families and the community that's being affected by COVID. And some of people are getting hit more than others, some are less. It doesn't matter. Let's just pray that God has his way and that he heals them and makes it pass through them quickly if it is coming through them. Pray with me tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for tonight. Thank you for your spirit, God, and all the wonderful things, Lord, that you've done and are in this place, God. God, Lord, we come before you collectively right now, God, praying for our pastor, Pastor Roy and Sister Lois, God, as they were hit by COVID. God, I pray, Lord, that you would heal him, that you would go make it go through him smooth and easy, God, Lord, that he would come through this quickly, God. Lord, we pray for every family, Lord, in this church and in our community, Lord, that's being affected by COVID, God. God, reach down and touch them, God. Heal them, God. Make things go faster, God, in this process, God. Lord, I pray for this service, Lord. Have your way, Lord, tonight in this service, in every aspect, God. Speak to me. Speak to every heart and mind, God. Let us leave being more connected to you and changed. In Jesus' name.
Though the rain falls and the storms begin to rage, you are speaking. You calm the wind and waves, and when the night falls, and I carry burdens, grace is reaching for me. Because on the cross, you have won, and it is finished. Stronghold will be broke. We will see the heavens open. Fear is overcome by perfect love, perfect love. Every mountain will be left. Every desert will be filled. stronghold will be broke. We will see the heavens open. Fear is overcome by perfect love, every mountain will be left, every desert will be flood. Fear is overcome by perfect love, and I proclaim and I confess and I declare with my own lips, only life and no more death, 'cause Jesus is alive. Spirit of the living God that raised the dead and brought new life dwells in us to testify that Jesus is alive. And I proclaim and I confess and I declare with my own lips, holy life and no more death, 'cause Jesus is alive. Spirit of the living God that raised the dead and brought new life dwells in us to testify Jesus is alive. Every stronghold will be broke. Every mountain will be left. Every desert will be flood. Fear is overcome by every stronghold will be broke. We will see the heavens open. Fear is overcome by perfect love. And every mountain will be left. Every desert will be flood. Fear is overcome by perfect love. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. Sing, I believe. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. Yes, I believe, Lord. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. The God who was and is to come. God of miracles, you're the God of miracles. Jesus. We believe that you're the God that heals, Lord. I believe that you're the God that casts out infirmity, Lord. I believe you're the God who feeds your people, God, who prospers your people. So, Lord, we pray anointing upon every family member of this body. We pray your anointing, Jesus, in every home. God, we cast out infirmity in the name of Jesus. God, we pray that your glory would be evident in our lives through healing, God. I pray that your power and your anointing would move upon every life, Jesus, that is watching this, that is present, and that is a part of this body. In Jesus' name, we believe, Jesus. We believe in you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
God is awesome, and he is a God of miracles. If you could turn your Bibles with me to Mark 4. We're going to start in verse 35. Mark 4, verse 35. If you have your phones or your tablets or your computers or the big giant screen behind me, they all work. And I'm going to be reading from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. So it might look a little bit different, but the concept remains the same. Verse 35, on that day when evening had come, he told them, "Let's cross over to the other side of the sea." So they left the crowd and took him along, since he was already in the boat, and other boats were with him. A fierce windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking over the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, sleeping on the cushion. So they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to die?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the seas, "Silence, be still." The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Then he said to them, "Why are you fearful? Do you still have no faith?" And they were terrified and asked one another, "Who then is this? Even the wind and sea obey him." You can be seated. Have you ever been in a storm? Yeah, we've done that. Yep. Have you ever been in a storm on a lake? In a boat? Yes. Yes. I go up to the Boundary Waters from time to time, which is up in Canada, and it's one of those areas where you don't get tents or campers, you know, you don't get trailers. It's only what you can carry on your back, right? It's the original version of Man Up, okay? So it's only what you can carry on your back, and sometimes that means a pack and a fishing pole and a canoe, and you're carrying it all in. I was up there. It was like one of my first times going, and we're going over this lake. It was a larger lake, and we're going down the middle of the lake. Now, we had been fishing throughout the day, so we didn't have our packs in there, but we had a lot of our gear in the canoe, and I'm a novice canoer at this point. I'm still not an expert, but I do own a canoe now, so that helps. I'm a novice canoer, and we're canoeing right through the middle of this lake, right through the middle, which is normally okay, but it's a big lake, and out of nowhere, I'm not joking, out of nowhere, the wind started coming through the lake. Now, the lake is kind of long. We're going this way up the lake, right down the center. The wind is coming this way, and literally on this little lake in the middle of nowhere in Minnesota, there's white caps on this lake. That would have been fine, except for the guy that was sitting in the back of the canoe was like 6'3", and all of his height was from his waist up. Now, if you can imagine, a canoe is only like this high out of the water, right? We were tipping. And then because he was tipping, I'm starting to freak out, right? And guess what happens? In the middle of the lake, we capsize. Splash. I didn't hear that sound, but I'm sure somebody did. Now, we have a life vest on, but usually you kind of got it on loosely, and I was a strong swimmer still. I was a strong swimmer, and the guy that was with me was a strong swimmer. And so, you know, we heard, now it's the middle of a storm, it's raining, we can't tell if it's going to lightning. The last thing we're thinking about during all of this is like what to do, and we think right away, we're like, hey, we saw that Boy Scouts can flip a canoe, right? You can flip this canoe over, empty all the water out, and then put your stuff in it and get in it. And that was not, we're not able to do that, okay, in the middle of a storm. I couldn't do it on normal water, I found out later. But we couldn't do it in the middle of the storm, in the middle of a lake. And so we were able to flip the canoe, and it was full of water. We gathered whatever gear we could. We lost a canoe. We lost a paddle. We lost a fishing pole, a Nalgene bottle, a couple other miscellaneous stuff. We grabbed it on. We throw it in the canoe, and we start swimming, pulling the canoe behind us, the two of us. Luckily, we're strong swimmers. And we swim to shore. And we get to shore, and the guy that was with us that somehow he was probably my age now, maybe mid to late 30s, and he had like a 8-year-old kid with him, and they made it through the lake just fine. But the two adults, we failed miserably, right? And he's waiting for us with a big fire and all this. But I've been there. I've been in the lake. And you know what happens for me? I don't know if it's for you. You know what happens when the waves start to come over the boat? Like panic. Like fear. Like I am super worried about what's going on. And I'm trying to paddle, like row. I'm like this. I'm trying to turn around and tell him to quit turning around, but that's making the boat rock even more. And I don't even know how it happened, but we capsized. And I think about that story every time that I read this story. Because I think about how the waves and the wind and all the work I'm doing, and no one is there to help me. No one. Just me and the guy in the boat. And I don't know what to do. And you know what? It feels helpless. It feels vulnerable, very vulnerable. You realize just how big the world is when you're about to get taken down in a lake. I wasn't worried about drowning or anything. I was a good swimmer. The worst case, we're going to leave the canoe behind and swim to shore. But we ended up swimming probably a quarter of a mile, dragging a canoe with us in the wet with all of our gear on. Tonight, I want to go through this verse as we read, Mark 4, 35 through 41. And I want to speak on the title, But Jesus is in the Boat. But Jesus is in the boat. We read in verse 35, it says, on that day when evening had come, he told them, let's cross over to the other side of the sea. This correlates with our life. This is very similar. We meet Jesus at some point in our life. Maybe we don't know him. Maybe we've heard of him. But we meet him and he invites us to have a relationship with him. He wants to come live inside of us, to be in our boat, to be involved in our lives. Our lives is the boat. So they left the crowd and took him along since he was already in the boat, and other boats were with him. We accept Jesus. We repent. We're baptized, and we're filled with his Holy Spirit. And now his Spirit is living inside of us. He is in the boat. I talked to Brother Caskey about this at one point. I said, it's so interesting that his Spirit lives inside of us. His powerful, comforting, encouraging, teaching, helping, renewing Spirit is living inside of us now. That's pretty cool. And we go on and we do normal things. We live life. We spend time with friends and family. We go to work. We go to church. We engage in hobbies. And Jesus is in the boat. And that's exciting. It's exciting having Jesus in your boat. It's even exciting when you look back and you see your life before Jesus was in your boat. And you see how much better life is because he is in your boat. But we go back to life. We had a great experience. Letting Jesus into the boat was an awesome experience. And it felt good for a bit. But then we go back to doing our own thing. But Jesus is still in the boat. And in this story, the fierce windstorm arose and the waves were breaking over the boat so that the boat was being swamped. So we start to realize that storms come in our lives. Storms happen. Real and figurative in our lives. Storms can be financial storms. They can be mental storms, emotional storms, relational storms. They can be physical storms. Storms can be situations that happen to us. Storms can be things we go put ourselves into or walk ourselves into. They can present themselves as depression, as anxiety, as fear, as doubt, as worry, as anger. Storms can just be bad weather. They could be a bad society. They might even just be a pandemic that lasts way too long. But we're good fishermen. We figured this out, right? We figured out this life thing. We can go about, and most of the bumps and bruises that we see, we can just take care of. It's not that big of a deal. We can, for almost all situations, get through. We can figure it out. We've actually gotten pretty good at living life and keeping the boat above water, even with Jesus in the boat. It's an interesting way to word it, right? Because I'm doing it even with him in the boat. It's a different way. Stay with me. The disciples were in the middle of a massive storm. The wind is blowing. The waves are breaking over the boat. And it says, so the boat was being swamped. It was already being swamped. So this is the verse before they describe that he's sleeping, right? So it's already being swamped. The boat is being covered with water. They're probably bailing it out. They're trying to row. They're trying to steer. And they're in the middle of this huge storm, but Jesus is in the boat. Verse 38, but he was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. So they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to die? Teacher, don't you care that we're going to die?" There's a storm happening, a horrible storm that's swamping the boat with water, and Jesus is in the back sleeping. Now, I don't know why this is. Maybe there's a reason that a scholar has figured out. To me, it doesn't matter. There's so many different ways you could go with this lesson. There's probably 1,000 messages about this out there somewhere. It doesn't matter. Maybe it was just because it was nighttime and he was tired. Maybe he didn't like to row. I don't know. Either way, he was sleeping, but he was in the boat. But here's where I start to ask myself some questions. I ask some weird questions when I'm reading the Bible. I'm trying to make sense of it sometimes, and I end up with some questions I can't always answer. And my goal is not to answer all these questions tonight, but is to ask them and to go through the process with you. I ask myself, how long did they fight the waves before turning to Jesus? How long did they fight the waves before turning to Jesus? You know, I read somewhere, I don't know if this is true or not, it was in like the small print of my Bible study Bible, right? So that's me quoting whatever that is. Okay, but the cushion is where the helmsman sat, right? So, like, he was on the cushion. He wasn't, maybe he could have been steering, but I don't even know if helmsman's the right word. The guy that steers the back of the boat, I was in the Army, not the Navy, but you get the idea, right? He was there. There was supposed to be somebody steering the boat with that cushion, but he had the cushion. He's sleeping, right? So how long did they fight the waves before turning to Jesus? Was it when it became too late, when the water was already being swamped? Was it when they were about to drown? Was it when they were mad that he wasn't helping? That's probably when I would have started. Like, what in the world? We're all here working. Like, get to work. Right? Maybe that's what it was. I can't speak for the disciples. I can't speak for that situation. But I know for us that the storms come into our lives, and we too don't turn to Jesus. The storms come into our lives and we also do not turn to Jesus. But he is in the boat. Maybe we don't want to bother him. Well, he's sleeping, you know, it's important. Maybe we're too busy dealing with the actual storm, bailing the water, rowing the boat, steering the back, fixing the sails. Maybe we're so busy with the actual storm and we're caught up in the work of life. That was the case for me when I was in the Boundary Waters. It was just too distracting. There was too many things going on. The last thing I thought about was God. The last thing I was thinking about. I forgot the simple things. Maybe we don't think that he could do anything about it. Still not realizing that he was God. Which is interesting because in Mark 5, this is near the end of the chapter, I think I said verse 35. If you go read verse 1 through 34, it lists like some crazy awesome things he did in 34 verses leading right up to that. And the way I read it, it looks like he did all those things. It says, and then he got into the boat. So they just saw all this happen. They were spectators to all these things. And Jesus gets in the boat with them. And he's the last person, the last thing they think about. Maybe we don't want to bother him. Maybe we're too busy dealing with the storm. Maybe we don't think he could do anything about it, you know, realizing that we don't believe in him, like it said in the song. And maybe they thought that this was just like every other thing in their life and they could do it on their own. Well, we've been in storms before. We just, you know, you do the oar, you do the steering, I'll do the bailing. We got this figured out. Maybe they just tried to do it a little bit too much or a lot bit too much on their own. The whole situation really baffles me. As I look at our boats, as I look at our lives, we have the Spirit of God living inside of us. He is literally in our boat, and yet we struggle daily with storms. We struggle. I'm not talking about the world who struggles too because Jesus isn't in their boat. We have Jesus in our boat, and the storm is kicking us in the rear end. We struggle with depression and anxiety. We struggle with fear and worry and doubt. We struggle with all these minor situations that come in life and major, depending on where you're at and what it is to you. The storms of this life are crazy. They're swamping over our boats. And we have Jesus in the boat with us. And his Spirit is inside of us. So how can this be? How can we have the Spirit of God living inside of us? How can Jesus be in our boat, this all-powerful Spirit, but we continue to struggle with storms? Not the other boats that don't have Jesus, that are who knows what's going on with them. I'm talking about the people that have Jesus in their boat are struggling with storms. Maybe we don't want to bother him. Maybe we don't think he can do anything about it. Maybe we're too busy in the storm. Maybe we think we can do it on their own. I think they all play a part. But maybe we've quit looking to Jesus. The Spirit of God is inside of us, but our lack of use or activation of it has lulled it to sleep. Now, theologically, God doesn't go to sleep. We all know that. Okay, don't go quote me here in the newspaper. What I'm saying is that the Spirit of God is inside of us, but it is not, I don't want to say it's not doing anything. We're choosing, just like the disciples, to not utilize it in our lives. And it starts not in the storm. It starts in the day-to-day when we're just out there fishing. It starts in the day-to-day when we're just giving rides for shekels on the shoreline. It starts in the day-to-day when we're just trying to cross over to the other side to see a friend. We're not using God in the boat. We're not letting God in our lives in the day-to-day stuff. And so we forget. We're not creating a pattern or a habit of having God in our lives on a daily basis. And so when the storms come, we forget that he's there. Well, no, Peter, maybe God just left the boat. Well, this is something Brother Caskey sent a text one time, and he said, he made a note, and it just, I don't know why I ever heard that. But in John 14, 15 through 17, it says, if you love me, you will keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor that he may abide with you forever. Or I have, be with you forever. When God's Spirit comes to live inside of us, he is literally in our boat forever. And so we have to ask ourselves that question. If he comes into our boat, and he's there forever, why do we keep messing with the storms and not turning to Jesus? Let me take it a step further. In Deuteronomy 31:6, it says, be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified or afraid of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. And if I could pile on one more time, let's go backwards in John 14, verse 12. He says, I assure you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and he will do even greater works than me. Because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So, let's just keep track here. God said he's going to send his Spirit. He's going to abide with us forever. He's going to be with us forever. He's going to be in our boat. And then Deuteronomy, he'll never leave us or forsake us. A little redundancy there, but same thing, right? And then he says, greater things than me shall you do. And yet the storms come and we don't turn to Jesus. Actually, you know what? Let's reword that. It's when the storms come that we finally turn to Jesus. After it really kicked us up and down the block. That's when we'll turn to Jesus. When the water's over the boat. When we're drowning. When things seem helpless. We have his spirit inside of us. He is inside of us. We have great power, more than he showed in the New Testament. And he will never leave us. And yet we let him sit in the back of the boat. That's why it doesn't matter why he was sleeping. The fact is that they let him get to that state. It just so closely mirrors how the things that happen in our lives. Going day to day, job to job, hour to hour, activity to activity, relationship to relationship, and not taking Jesus with us. And when the storms come, we're like, I don't know what to do. It's like, oh yeah, yeah, he's in the back. Jesus, what do we do? We don't know what to do. He's like, what's going on here? I mean, you guys haven't talked to me in a while. You haven't reached out to me. I'm sitting on the pillow. I could have been steering all along. That's what happens in our lives. He's in the back of the boat. But he's effectively useless by our prioritization of other things over him. The things we focus on, the things we prioritize over Jesus on a daily basis begin to fill our boat. Well, I need this new sail. This new sail, this is going to save me time and money and energy. Ooh, this new net's going to be good. I need this net, right? These oars are the smoothest, balsam, lightest wood in the world. We're going to be living in luxury. This seat is soft. I got a little feather cushion for it. Man, all these things in the boat that distract me from Jesus. They take my time. They take my energy. They take my money. They take my effort. They take my thoughts. We prioritize. He is effectively useless because we prioritize other things over him in the boat. And he ends up in the back waiting on a cushion. So useless that he falls asleep. I know he doesn't actually fall asleep. But if we're not using him, he will politely wait. Politely? Is that a word? Politely. Politely wait. They don't teach you that stuff in engineering school. He will politely wait. But he's still in the boat. But Peter, it doesn't work. That doesn't work. No. The way you're doing it doesn't work. The way we've been doing it doesn't work. Going through the motions. Just making sure he's in the boat. Well, I could come to church. Yep, hey, there he is, back in the boat. We're good. Jesus is in the boat. I'm good to go. Giving him a seat at the back of the boat is not good enough. Just having him in the boat is not good enough. Being introduced to Jesus and letting him into our lives is not good enough. And I don't mean that in a negative way, like none of you are good enough. I'm saying that God has so much more for us than just to walk in the boat and sit on a cushion. He wants to drive the boat, steer the boat, protect the boat, be with the boat, help you catch fish in the boat. But instead, he takes the cushion. Or we give him the cushion. Yeah, that won't work. And then when you hit the storm, you realize how little of God you are taking advantage of. I've been saying this since early last year, or middle of last year. I feel like COVID, and I'm going to speak for my life, but maybe it transfers to all of you, and I think I've seen it in people that are close to me. I think the storm of COVID showed us how much of our boat Jesus was in. I think the storm of this pandemic showed us how much of our boat we were letting Jesus have control over. Because it hit, and there was fear. It hit, and there was panic. It hit and there was worry. And maybe you're like, I wasn't feared and I wasn't panicked. I wasn't worried. Good for you. Maybe you've just figured that whole life thing out. But Jesus is still sitting in the back of the boat. It's in these storms where things really hit the fan that we start looking at it and being like, oh, I don't know what to do. Jesus, why aren't you helping me? What's going on, Peter? What's going on? There's a storm. Oh, yeah, I see the storm. Jesus is in the boat. And they finally turn to him. And he gets up. I like to read this part calmly because I think it makes sense. If you read the first verse right before it goes, they're like, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to die?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Silence, be still." And there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you fearful? Do you still have no faith?" It's almost like Jesus was surprised. He thought they should know by now. Yeah, it's early in Mark. It's only 5 chapters in, so there's only probably a handful of miracles. But still, he thought they should know by now. How long had he been with them? They were surprised because they didn't think he could do it. They were surprised because everything else was a priority in their life. They were underutilizing the Spirit of God in their life. And that's what we do. We were underutilizing the presence of God in our lives on a daily basis. But Peter, there's not a storm. Like, I don't really need God. It's not a storm. I can figure it out. No, that's when you need God. Because if you don't get into the habit of having God when there isn't a storm, you're sure not going to be able to know how to activate His Spirit when there is a storm. Yeah, but things are going well then. Then it's luck. Let's lean on God in the calm. Let's lean on God in the fishing. Let's lean on God in the joy rides. Let's lean on God when things are easy and simple and joyful. So that when the storms come, we're so used to turning to God that it's just natural. Hey, God, can you steer through this part? You steered through me when I was going through the shore and it was just turtles. You steered through me when I just wanted to relax and have a good day. You steered through my life when we were fishing and you got me to the spot I needed to go. Can you steer me through the storm? I got you, Peter. Just like we did last Saturday. I got you when it was calm. If the musicians can come up. I'm here to encourage you tonight. Probably not what you thought after all that. But I'm here to encourage you today with some simple thoughts. Some simple ideas. It's challenging to read this. Maybe it's challenging because you read this and it's no longer about some fisherman in a boat that didn't think to ask Jesus to help him. It hits a little bit more close to home when you realize that, wow, this really mirrors my life an awful lot more than I thought it did. It really mirrors how I was so excited when I invited Jesus into my life, when I repented and was baptized and spoke in tongues and the Holy Ghost came inside of me oh, man, that was awesome. We get so excited about Jesus climbing into the boat. And we let him sit in the back on the cushion. Whatever situation you're in, I don't minimize your storm. I don't maximize your storm. Your storm is your storm. Your calm is your calm. Everybody's is different. But whatever situation you're in, whether it's now or before or will be in the future, I want to let you know that Jesus is still in the boat. He never left. He never left your boat. He never left John 14:15, and he will give you another counselor who will be with you forever. Don't wait too long to ask him for help. Don't wait for the storm. Don't wait for the wind and the waves and the pandemic. Don't wait till you get COVID. Don't wait till you're sick. Don't wait till you lose your job. Start getting him involved with all aspects of your life right now. The sailing, the fishing, the joy cruises. Jesus is in the boat. Deuteronomy, he will never leave you or forsake you. Something that I have to do a lot, and we talked about it in the prayer meeting. We talked about how David encouraged himself in the Lord. Sometimes we need to do that. Sometimes we need to quote these verses to remind ourselves, God, I feel helpless. I'm in the middle of these waters and the waves are crashing and everything's, or maybe I'm on calm seas and it's just, I feel alone. I need to remind myself, God, you said you'd never leave me or forsake me. You'd never leave me or forsake me. God, I claim that verse right now. Your word says that you'd send your spirit and it would be with me forever. I claim that right now. Help me to act on that, God. You might need to remind yourself of those things. Jesus is in the boat. The second thing I want to encourage you is that you don't have to do all the work. Now, there is work to do. Okay, this is not a, you know, claim it and say it or whatever that is. There is work to do, but you don't have to do it all. Zechariah 4:6, it says, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by strength or by might, but by my spirit. That same spirit that is living inside of us, that works in us, that's going to be with us forever, that same spirit that allows us to do greater things than Jesus did, and he calmed the storm. It says, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Not by your strength, not by your actions, not by how good of a fisherman you are, or sailboats person, whatever the word is, sailor you are, but by my spirit, says the Lord. So my three encouraging thoughts, Jesus is in the boat. You don't have to do all the work. And the storm is not as powerful as Jesus. He got up, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, silence, be still. The wind ceased and there was a great calm. The storm and the waves may be large and swamping in your boat, but Jesus is in. And for that, we have comfort. If you could stand with me. So what can you do about it? What can you do? Well, there's probably a lot of things. But the first thing we can start doing tonight, tomorrow, let's start making more room for Jesus in the boat. Let's start getting the stuff out of the boat that doesn't need to be there. And let's start making more room for Jesus in our boat. Let's make more room for Jesus in our schedule. Let's make more room for Jesus in our thoughts. Let's make more room for Jesus in our finances. Let's make more room for Jesus in our relationships. Let's make more room for Jesus in the things we think about. Start making more room for Jesus in the boat. And the second thing, whether it's a storm or not, turn to Jesus, because he is in the boat. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding, your own good fisherman skill. Think about him in all your ways, and he will guide you on the right paths. Don't consider yourselves to be wise. Don't think you've got this fisherman thing figured out and that you could just work through life because you've been through the greatest storms and that's what makes you great. Don't consider yourself wise. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. This will be healing for your body and strengthening for your bones. That's Psalm, Proverbs 3, 5 through 8. I want to close with Psalms 91, starting at verse 9. This is interesting. This is 91. Pastor had us praying this and reading this as families early on. And I'm cutting down to verse 9. But it's interesting. It kind of switches here. David wrote this. Actually, I don't know if David wrote it. Psalms. Because you have made the Lord my refuge, the Most High, your dwelling place. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, because you have let God into your boat and let him dwell, not just sit in the back of the cushion, in your boat, no harm will come to you. No plague will come near your tent. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to protect you in all your ways. In the calm times, we let God in to be the dwelling in our lives. And when the storms come, he will protect us in all those ways. They will support you with their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the young lion and the serpent because he is lovingly devoted to me. Now this gets interesting. So the first part, it sounds like David saying, if you do all this to God, now it's like God speaking through David. And this is God speaking. He said, because you are lovingly devoted to me, I will deliver you. I will protect you because you know my name. I'm not just a random guy in the cushion in the back of the boat anymore. I'm not the spirit you let in at one point and were really excited about and then pushed aside to get everything else in your life and you've forgotten about God. Because he is lovingly devoted to me, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls out to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him. I will give him honor. I will satisfy him with a long life and show him my salvation. Wherever you're at tonight, whether you've never had Jesus in your boat and you want Jesus in your boat, whether you've brought Jesus in your boat and he sat in the back of the cushion and you sometimes go to him when the storms are crazy, I don't know where your situation is, but Jesus wants to be in your boat. Whatever you're going through doesn't matter because Jesus can be directing your boat. This altar's open for prayer. If you want prayer, there's people that'll pray with you, but I challenge you. Ask yourself the question I kept asking myself. God, why, if I have your spirit living inside of me, do these things still overcome me? I need to be closer to you. God, I want to be closer to you. I need the things that are in my life to just get out of the way. Above everything else, I want to be led of the Spirit in every aspect of my life. And I don't always know what that looks like, but I'm going to try to be led of the Spirit. I want Jesus in my boat. Start making room and turn to Jesus.
Fail, but my God, you never will. your spirit strong in me, and my flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. I may be weak, your spirit strong in me, my flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. Trust what you say, that you're good, your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life. Give me faith to trust what you say. Your spirit's strong in me, and my flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me, and my flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me. Trust what you say, that you're good, and your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life. Give me faith to trust what you say. Your spirit's strong.